Let me ask this question. Who are you? If you were to introduce yourself, how would you describe yourself? I am this. Now, most of us as guys, we right away go to our jobs. We right away go to, well, I'm a school bus driver and I pastor a great little church in Rosenberg. That's who I am. But I'm also a husband and a father and a grandfather. And probably a bunch of other things. Who would you say that you are? Who do you say I am? I am what? I am this. I am that. We've spent this summer trying to answer that question, or let Jesus answer the question. When he says, I am, who is, because we know God is huge, but we just can't quite put our fingers on it. It's, have you ever tried to hold Jell-O in your hand and it just kind of all comes out? We try to grab God, but you can't. And so God sent Jesus. Jesus came to show us this is who God is. And he declared that. So on your tables, I've handed out some sheets that give you the overview of the whole series that we've done over the summer since the 30th of June up until I'm ending it this weekend, this series. And we're going to walk through that a little bit and bring it to, I think, a good conclusion at the end. In John chapter 18, he was about to be arrested. And you may remember that when the soldiers and the temple guards and Judas show up to arrest Jesus. And he steps forward and he says, who are you looking for? Who have you come to arrest? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth, the human name of Jesus. Jesus who lived in this town. And he steps forward and he says, I am he. And they immediately fall down. They immediately fall down in front of him. Now, I don't know what all happened there. I don't understand. And all I can think of is it was the power. Because when he talks about I am, he's saying, I am God. I am Yahweh. He's declaring. The other I ams is just I am this. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But in this declarative statement, he goes, I am God. And that force caused the people around him, 100 of them, 200 of them, whatever it was, to fall down. And then he said again, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Nazarene. And he said, in the same declaration, I am he. He said it twice. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And we started in this series, and Scott Friesen talked a little bit at the end of that message about I am the bread of life. So Jesus declares himself as the Lord God Almighty, but then he says, I'm the bread, I'm your bread for life and eternity. I will meet your needs. I am the bread, the very sustenance of life. You can have me. But then we go to the next one, Jesus, I am the way. And he goes to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let me find my way there. And he goes, I am the way. We talked about I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. You remember what we talked about, the Mandalorian? What does he say? This is the way, which doesn't help us. We can learn the way, but we actually need to learn who is the way. He is the way. I am the way. We need to learn of Jesus. And we discovered that our faith is more than beliefs and doctrines, as important as that is. But if all we have is just belief and doctrines, we just have a head knowledge and a head relationship, and we're missing the heart of. That's why we sing. We don't sing just doctrine, we sing of our love and our worship and our appreciation of Jesus. Let's get to know Jesus. And then we move on to I am the truth. And we search for truth. Everybody's looking for truth. Everybody's looking for what's real. And truth has become so relative that it's become I am the truth. We as humans, that's what we all know. What I believe is true is true. And Jesus says, I am the truth. And him, Jesus, and Pilate are having this conversation. And he says, what is truth? And then he turned to walk away. And too many people just turn and walk away. When they come up with that question, they go, oh, forget it. And they walk away, just what Pilate did. And it's almost as if Jesus would have said, if he would have listened, Jesus would have said, you're actually looking at him. You're actually looking at truth. I am truth. And then we looked at, I am the shepherd, who Jesus is gentle and good. We go to John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know me. I am a good shepherd, and I know my sheep. I know who I care for. I know them. I know them very well. And then Titus helped us out to realize that one of the things he does from Psalm 23 is that he leads us into pastures. He leads us into places where we can feel that gentleness and experience that goodness, and to have our deepest needs met with him. Then we went into I am the life, John chapter 14. With the life of Jesus in us, we have passed from death to life. We never need to give up. He is the life. He is what gives us everything that we need to keep going through this life. I am the life. Then we talked about I am the Word. Now I know you won't find in John, you won't find him saying, I am the Word. But there's enough biblical references, and we also went to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it declares in the meaning of it that he is actually the written word of God. If we went to, find my right passage here, John chapter 5, verse 39, he's talking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the teachers of the law, and he says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. That's the problem, is that I'm all for the Word of God, 100% for the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. But too many of us turn this into the biggest textbook in our life, and we miss that what the scriptures teach is Jesus. We have to realize that in the scriptures he teaches. And then in John chapter 1, he talks about, I am. What does he say? John chapter 1, verse 1. I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Carry on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word. Yeah. The reason I asked you is I had a little bit of a brain fart. I couldn't quite remember, okay? He says, I am. In the beginning was a Word. I am that Word. In John chapter 1, verse 1, he still talks about the same thing. I am the Word of life, the apostles are teaching. He's the Word of life, the very Word. And so when we read this written Word, when we hear the written Word spoken, when we memorize it, when we read it, we're actually encountering Jesus. We're encountering Jesus. And then last week we talked about Jesus both being the shepherd and the gate in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and those who come in through me will be saved. But he goes on in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I'm not just the gate, but I am the shepherd and the gate. Together, the security and the passageway and all of that in our life to be able to rest with him, to be safe with him. And then I end with John chapter 18, where Jesus says, I am he. Jesus declares that he is the Lord God Almighty. And I believe with all that he declares, I am all of this. All that we've just spent, we could spend more weeks, but all that I just talked about over this summer, I am all of that and more. I am all of the above. What was your favorite tool in your garage, in your shop, in your hobby shop, in your kitchen? What's your favorite tool? Remember that? How many of you, when you were kids, maybe as kids, how many of you carried pocket knives? Not into airports, but you carry, how many of you kids, any of you carry pocket knives? Adults, any of you still carry pocket knives? Some of you do. How many of you when you were a kid, because it's not, you can't even carry these into school anymore, can you? No, right? But how many of you used to? I had a couple of different pocket knives that I always carried. Like, it's amazing what, like, they're just so handy. Like a really good tool, whittle a stick or whatever. And this one has a corkscrew on it, which isn't going to help me a lot. And it even has a Phillips screwdriver. Well, what if I need a Robertson? That ain't going to help me at all. So it's kind of limited. Now, I did a little research. Anybody heard of a Swiss Army knife? Maybe heard of a Swiss Army knife. Dwight, show this next picture. This is a Swiss Army knife. Can you see that? That knife worth $502 Canadian. You can order it online and have it to you by Thursday. Has 73 functions. 73. This is what it says on the website. Super practical. And a class on its own, meet the Swiss Champ XXL. A powerhouse among the pocket knives.
Really?
Armed with 73 functions, this knife can handle anything. Each piece is meticulously hand-assembled by skilled craftspeople to ensure optimum quality. What'd you do today, Dad? I put together a Swiss Army knife with 73 functions. That's what I do all day, this dad would say. This is a reassuringly solid yet surprisingly portable companion. I'll talk about that. A portable companion for outdoor challenges from fish scaling to metal sawing, as well as minute indoor tasks such as simply filing your nails. The tools. Show the next one there, Dwight. I'll show you in real life how big that actually is. The tools. A pressurized ballpoint pen, a bottle opener, a punch, electrician's blade, Phillips screwdriver, half, I think is what it means, like that size, a toothpick, really handy, tweezers, scissors, a can opener, a small blade, a pin, magnifying glass, multi-purpose hook, fish scaler, combination pliers, wood saw, pharmaceutical spatula. Anybody know what that is? I forgot to look that up. A pharmaceutical spatula. Key ring, nail file, bitcase watch opener, blade large with a wavy edge, screwdriver 2.5 millimeters, a chisel 4 millimeters, a bit wrench, universal wrench of M3, M4, M5, pruning blade, a punch and a sewing awl, blade that's larger, and a mini screwdriver 1.5 millimeters and a corkscrew. Colin, Cody, anyone else into fixing things or building things? Jordan, you want this particular tool. Do you know how big that thing is? This is a wallet. I got a bunch of my cards in here. It's this big and twice as thick. That's how big that knife is. So you try to put that into your pocket and like, that's not very portable. How much did it weigh? It's 353 grams or 3/4 of a pound. 3/4 of a pound. Now, I was talking to the lady at Country Graphics who graciously gave me this knife, and she said, yeah, we had one of the techies actually come in, I guess one of the guys was working on the photocopier or whatever machines, and he had one of these. That's crazy. Now, follow with me in the analogy of this. That's too big a knife. All right, some of you are going, oh, I really want one. It's too big a knife. It's just maybe to throw in the toolbox, but it's too big. There's too much. It would almost overwhelm me. It would take me forever to find the right tool that I need because I have to open up this. Like, it's too much. Follow with me in the analogy. The point of this series. All of who Jesus is too much for our hearts. All that Jesus is too much for our souls. All that Jesus is too much for our bodies, for our minds. We cannot handle him all at once. Are you tracking with me? After what we've talked about this summer, all that Jesus is actually too much for us. We can't actually, we say Jesus lives in our hearts, and he does. We can't actually have all of him there. It's too much. We can't handle it. And that's why many times we would actually stand or sit in worship and going, you are amazing. But what he does for us, what he does is he gives us little parts of himself that we need at any given moment. Just as I could take this Super Champ XXL and pull out one tool to function in that particular task that I need, Jesus himself, in all that he is, he knows exactly what he wants to do and what we need in our lives. And he comes to us as the way. He comes to us as the truth. He comes to us as a good shepherd, as the life, as the word, as a shepherd engaged. And he comes to us as God and can overwhelm us because we just need to sense him and to feel him and to know him. Can you see that analogy? That he's far more than we could ever want. Why does this matter? Why does this matter? All that Jesus is available to us for us, and we need him. And just as we get to know our tools, let's get to know all of who Jesus is. There are different experiences in our life where we're just going to need Jesus. And we invite him into our lives. We invite him into our circumstances. We invite him into our pain. We invite him into our joy. We invite him into our questions. We invite him into our doubts. We invite him into our pain. Whatever it is, he can meet us. He doesn't overwhelm us, but he meets us with whatever he wants to meet us with that we need. And then, as I said to us a couple weeks ago, there are people in our lives that need Jesus too. There are people in our lives that need what Jesus can do for them. I won't go into the details because I'm online, but I had a conversation with a lady the other day. And she just opened up. I prayed for her, and I had lots of conversations with her. And then she just opened up and said, "Tim, what do you really believe? What do you think about this?" She knows I'm a pastor. What do you think? How do you make sense? Because she's quite an opinionated lady and has opinions about almost everything in the world. And I've never preached at her. I've never told her, "You just need to know Jesus." I just was her friend, and I talked with her, and I listened, and the door just opened. "What do you believe?" I don't even remember the exact question, but I just said to her, I says, "You know what? I believe there's a God who created me, and he loves me. And to get to know God, he sent Jesus onto this earth that I can actually know God a little more. And he loves me. And he loves everyone. And he wants a relationship with him. He wants everyone to have a relationship with him." It's that simple. And then I just shared a couple of stories of a funeral that I did a few weeks ago and other instances, and said, "This is how God loves us." "Well, thank you for sharing." "Wow. I'm looking forward to the next meeting with you." Wow. So good that Jesus can meet us. So, what's our application? What's our application? Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. That's who he is. And then he invites us to depend on him. And when we get to that overwhelming time and we don't know, we say, "Jesus, I just need all of you." You can kind of look at it and go, "Jesus, would you give me this? Would you be this in my life? Would you be my shepherd? Would you be my bread? Would you be my gate? Would you come and just meet me as to how you want to meet me?" Let me conclude. I'm reading a really good book by Craig Rochelle, Think Ahead. It's all about pre-decisions. I won't get into that part of it. But he ends one chapter very well written. He's talking about making God first. That's the context of it. That's okay. By the way, it may feel like it's a lot, like God is asking a lot of you, of me. Make God first. If so, something to remember. Yes, he's asking you to put him first, but God already put you first. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." God is asking you to seek him first, but he already sought you first. He's asking you to devote your life to him, but he first gave up his life for you on the cross. God didn't just decide to do that. He pre-decided to do that for you. Ephesians 1. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God wanted us to have a relationship, and that gives him good pleasure. Back in eternity past, Greg Rochelle writes, before he created the world, before there was a you, God pre-decided to seek you and have Jesus die for you. Why? Because he loved you. Who is God? Who is God? He is the Holy One, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God. He is my source, my strength, my sustainer, my shield. He is all good. He's completely pure. He is perfect, without fault, without blemish. He is the Holy One, we sang earlier. My God is infinite, immutable, doesn't change. Immeasurable, you can't measure him. Incomprehensible, sometimes it just blows our mind. He is self-existent, self-sustaining, self-sufficient. He is wisdom. He didn't need to learn. He is strength. He didn't need to earn or work out. His ways are higher. His plans are better. His love is deeper than our finite minds can comprehend. Some may choose to ignore him. Some may choose to leave him. Some may choose to despise him. I choose to stay. I choose to honor him. I choose to treasure him, to love him. Why? Because of who he is. I'm devoted to him. And I know you want to be too. Not part-time, but giving your full devotion to the one who gave it all for you. Besides, who else can save you? Who else can heal you? Who else forgives your sins? Who else can comfort you in pain? Who else will never leave you, no matter how bad it gets? Who else will always be for you? And if he's for you, who can be against you? You're not going to find love like that anywhere else. God is devoted to you. He puts you first. Let's put him first. I am devoted. Cody and Scott, why don't you come up? Let's pray. What do you need from God this morning? What do you need from God in your life? Is all of that for you and me? Jesus, we come every Sunday to worship you. And I hope we don't get bored of that. But Jesus, it's incredible who you are that we can't comprehend everything of you. But still, Jesus, you want to meet us. Heavenly Father, you want to love us. Holy Spirit, you want to work in our hearts. And we honor you. We love you. We're devoted to you. So, Jesus, we've spent this summer learning about you as to who you are. Would you drive those things into our hearts? Because you're so, so good. We love you. In your name, Jesus. All because of you.